Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Without My Sister, the podcast where you get to eavesdrop on a really intelligent conversation between two sisters who have lots of concerns about the world. No? I feel like this podcast is actually you. You know when you're in a cafe and two people are there and they're laughing and you're like, I really want to know what they're laughing about? That's what this podcast is. But you get to know. You know what I mean?
I think that's your dream, because didn't you say the other day that you couldn't work as a waitress because you'd just be like eavesdropping on the most interesting conversation in the room?
Well, because the poor waitress walked over to give us our drinks, and at that very moment you'd been going, well, she's filed for divorce. And then the waitress walked away and I was like, how could she walk away from that? I'd be like, who? What happened? Tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely useless.
I'd probably purposely spill the drink and then I'd be like, oh, I better stand. Carry on the conversation.
The waitress who basically sat down with us when we were out with Mom and gave us her business card and talked about her yoga, etc.
Well, see, that was different because she was telling us about her life. I would just want to know what you were talking about.
But only because she kept popping over and saying, oh, that's so funny what you're talking about, etc. Yeah. It was like... Luckily, we are very entertaining.
She was very nice, actually. Do you still have her card somewhere?
I do, yeah. I met her again last night because I went to the same restaurant.
Oh, did you? Okay.
She remembered me. Surprise, surprise.
God, I mean, it must be hard to pick you out of the lineup of Irish women in Fort Wayne.
Her and the staff at Starbucks. Is this Beatrice? I'm like, no.
Thankfully, that's never happened to me.
Is this Beatrice for a venti latte? I'm like, no, it isn't.
Although I did have that mortifying experience when I went into Taj Mahal in person, remember, and to pick up an order. And I was like, oh God, now they know that's Rosemary, who orders like twice a week the exact same thing.
I thought you were going to say they all stood up and gave you a round of applause. They were like, Rosemary.
No, but they should have.
They should have. You're keeping the lights on.
They should have come out of the back with a baby and been like, because of you, we could afford to have another child. Because of you, we could repaint our entire restaurant.
Imagine if like whoever came out of the back was actually the owner of Bombay Pantry, Rosemary. When we heard we were moving to Fort Wayne, we decided we better come here too.
I actually love that. There's nothing like a Bombay Pantry chicken tikka masala. Taj Mahal's nice, but it's not the same.
That's nice. I know. Sad for Taj Mahal though. It's mean.
Bombay Pantry's Peshwari naan is, let me tell you, bursting. With almonds and raisins.
Borsen.
Delicious. Oh my God, I miss it so much.
I wish people could have seen the weird eye roll you did there. Like your eyes closed in kind of an approximation of ecstasy, but like one of them stayed half open and it looked like you were just about to, I don't even know,
it's
fall
rude
on the floor
to make
and
these comments about somebody's face. It's rude.
Rude.
Rude, yeah. Don't be giving me your raised Olivia Colman eyes. It's rude.
Oh, you bitch. You're a laugh a minute. Did Today we were going to talk about screens children. Versus paper. Learning on screens versus learning on paper. Reading screens on screens versus reading on honest to God books.
And as the Americans would say, Beatrice, this is very apropos. Because...
I hate that.
Because but just this week...
But it is correct.
I know.
Unfortunately.
Just this week, we had this kind of discussion, the two of us, where we were putting together a calendar for everyday Feb. Well, you were doing up a calendar and a schedule very kindly because I was, I don't know, had a headache and just couldn't cope with anything. And you did up a great calendar and a great schedule and great notes and everything. But I somehow, this is a me problem, not a you problem.
Good.
But I somehow, no matter how many times I looked at this calendar that you'd done on Canva, very nice, I just could not get my head around what we were recording when and what was coming out which day. And I had to, very old-fashioned, print out a page, a February calendar page, and actually write down each episode and each page and figure out, because basically on Patreon, the episodes come out a day early and without any ads. And then they go out in the main feed, obviously, so for February, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then Patreon gets their bonus episodes on Friday and Saturday. But because they go out a day early, Patreon also gets the early episodes on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday then.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated. And I just could not get my head around it without actually getting a piece of paper and writing it down. And I'm the same with like notebooks and to-do lists and diaries. And even though I do fill out my Google Calendar now and I frequently get reminders where I'm like, shit, I totally forgot that was tomorrow. I still like to have an actual paper agenda, paper planner to write down what's happening. So I have them all now written down twice, which is not very like, not an economical use of my time. But without writing things down, I find it really hard to retain them. You know what I mean? It's like I have to have a visual of them written down, and having the actual visual on the computer doesn't work for me. I don't know why.
So according to the British Department of the UK Department of Education, you are not alone. So kids aged between 10 and 12 apparently reading on paper, learn more deeply was the phrase that was used.
So I have the brain of a 10 to 12 year old.
No, not necessarily. They only study 10 to 12 year olds. This could apply to the entire world, right? That they learn more deeply than when they are reading on a screen. Now, it doesn't necessarily go into why. I haven't read the paper myself. This is a synopsis of the findings. Mm-hmm. But it was very interesting. I do think that there's a lot more skimming online. You know, the light itself is probably like more glaring in your eyes. Now, here's really technical takeaways for you. If somebody else is like, nonsense. But I also am the same. Like, I find that I digest something in a book more easily. I tend to skim more online. I think because I'm kind of going, what's next? Click on this, scroll down. Sometimes I find myself scrolling too quickly for my own reading ability, you know?
Yeah. I wonder how much of it as well is to do with the fact that when you're looking at a screen, it has now become really normal to look at a screen while doing something else, whether that's look at TV while you're looking at your phone, look at TV while you're knitting or while you're building Legos or whatever it is, look at TV while you're eating your dinner, and then also then look at your phone while you're talking to someone or, you know, I know you hate that, but and reading books, we don't have the same... I'm going to read a book while I'm doing X. Because you can't, right?
Well, I mean, that's not quite true now. Our own father was pulled over by a bobby when growing up for cycling and reading.
I know, the book laid out in the handlebars of his bike. But also, I feel like that guard had some cheek because I don't think that's against the law.
It probably is.
It's dangerous.
Well, distracted walking is now against the law in lots of... distracted walking, where texting and walking. Jesus. Or like reading your phone, looking at your phone and walking. Because... it has increased the number of road... Well, I don't know that it has increased the number of road accidents, but the number of accidents involving people who are on their phone, etc., has increased.
Huh.
Right, which could just be that more people are on their phone.
I mean, obviously totally makes sense because like we know now from years and years of studies that multitasking is actually a myth, right? That nobody can multitask effectively. Like you cannot do two things well at once. You can do one thing medium well and one thing poorly, basically. Everything suffers. So the idea that you can look at your phone and be aware of your surroundings and be aware of crossing the road or even who's coming, like that's not possible. Did I ever tell you about my friend who decided she was not moving over on the path for men anymore? Because she noticed that when you're walking along the path, which like is not going to happen us here because nobody else has ever walked along the path towards you. But when you're walking along the path in Dublin, she noticed, like this is totally anecdotal, But she noticed that when men walked towards her, they didn't move. They just waited for, or like she moved first. So she wasn't sure if they were going to move. And she said that she then decided, made a conscious decision. She was no longer moving off the path. And she said, since she decided this, she's had so many incidents where they've both just stopped in front of each other because the man is like, oh, like, why aren't you moving? You know what I mean? Even though why should she move any more than him? Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, that is not just a her phenomenon, right? There have been studies done on that where...
Oh, have there?
Yeah, where women actually end up being banged into very frequently because the individual, the male individual, does not think. Like, just does not think, I think. Doesn't anticipate anything other than, you know, purest subservience
and
from...
You can, yeah, and you can obviously extrapolate that then to every facet of life that, like, women are always moving over or bending over or adjusting themselves and their expectations and their desires and their needs for the needs of not just men, but others. That's what we're conditioned to do.
Well, Rosemary, as a scientist, I think that was a bit of a quick leap from one piece of anecdotal study and me saying that exists to you
as
saying that's life.
As a scientist.
That's life.
Mm-hmm. That is life. We all know it.
Well, you just said, I think therefore we can assume. As a scientist, I'm not comfortable assuming
I said we can extrapolate.
Yeah, we can extrapolate. And then you were basically saying that was a fact. So
What does Reacher say about assumptions?
They make
assumptions
an ass.
Get people killed.
Oh, they get people. They make an ass out of you and out of me.
No, he doesn't say actual, that.
Okay, he doesn't.
No, he says assumptions get people killed.
Well, and then he then proceeds to kill lots of people.
Assumptions get people killed.
He has very, very short arms. You reminded me there of them again when
it's,
you pulled her.
I think it's because his traps are so overworked that his whole shoulders, he has no neck, his whole shoulders and everything are up next to his ears. And then if you think about it, your arms look really short. But his arms are actually normal length if he just did this.
He can't do that, though. And when he puts on jackets, his hands, like the jacket cuff reaches to like midway across his hand, which is where I noticed his hands are really short.
Oh, that's a good point. But the whole, you know what, the most ridiculous thing about Reacher is not the fact that everywhere they go, they leave 10 million bodies behind them and somehow don't get arrested or stopped by the police. The most ridiculous thing is the idea that he, at 6'5" and about 3 miles wide, would go into a second-hand shop mm-hmm. and find clothes that fit him.
He absolutely would. They fit him really well. So they're fitted. They're perfectly fitted. And he found a tuxedo somehow.
Please.
What I found amazing is that he manages to do so much damage with the door of a car. So I am looking forward to the opportunity.
To that episode
no,
yet.
He's that was the first episode.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, where he like saved that kidnapped kid.
Oh, yeah.
And then in subsequent episodes, he then damaged other people with doors of cars. And I am just looking for the opportunity to slam somebody's, half of somebody's body in the door of a car when, like, at some point I have an opportunity to do that. I will take great pleasure in just slamming that door on them and hearing the satisfying crack of their bone.
Anyway, back to the screens.
Well, actually, it was screens, yeah. And I was thinking also, like, Audible's not a screen, but, like, can you absorb a book as well audibly, like via, what's the word, hourly?
Hourly, yeah, you're right. I think it's probably back to the same thing about when you're reading a book, you can't do anything else. Whereas the only time I ever listen to an audiobook is when I'm doing something else. So when I'm cleaning or putting up laundry or driving, that's when I listen to audiobooks. And that's when I listen to podcasts as well, right? That's when I do my listening. So obviously, the amount of concentration that it takes to listen to an audiobook is half of what it takes to actually read a book. So when I'm reading a book, I'm sitting down and I'm just reading that.
But do you absorb the Audible, like the Audible as well, as much as a read book?
Well, that's what I'm saying. No.
Oh, and no, like, you didn't say that. You just were telling us what you do.
Okay,
when you're
so I'm saying, but basically, because my attention is divided between the audiobook and whatever else I'm doing, no. And like, sometimes I do find myself going, oh shit, I've no idea what just happened over the last 5 minutes and I have to rewind. And that's kind of why I listen to nonfiction actually on audiobook, is because with nonfiction, even though you might miss an important passage, you might suddenly not know the key to everything in life or whatever you're listening to, it's harder to miss a part of the plot and continue than it is to miss a point about, you know, the importance of fresh air or something and then go on to the next thing. Like, you can kind of miss that bit and go, you know what, I got 80% of what that book was and that was fine. But if you get 80% of a fiction book, the 20% could be the climax or the whodunit or the clues, you know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think I don't concentrate as much when I'm listening.
And as a scientist, that would be a problem for me because I'd probably be listening to peer published reviews or data.
You stumbled. The way you stumbled over the phrase peer published reviews. Like, you couldn't even get it out.
What's the word? Journals, scientific journals. And if I missed 20% of something scientific, that would be probably a problem. I'd be missing like part of an equation.
Well, actually, it did say in that article about the study that had been done on kids that it hasn't been peer reviewed yet. So as a scientist, you shouldn't even be talking about this. It's not even peer reviewed.
I am the peer and I'm reviewing it. I'm like, I agree.
But what do you like? Have you noticed a difference in, say, your kids, say, from Nash when he was learning pre-pandemic and learning on paper with books and everything? Have you noticed a difference between him and, say, Chance?
No, I just think it's a bit like reading the newspaper online, right? I find it unsatisfying because, now this is real granny stuff, right? But like there's an unsatisfying, look, what article am I missing? You know, you might say to me, oh, I read this article in the New York Times, and I go, oh, how come I didn't see that, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas with the newspaper, I get to see it from start to finish and I can skim over what I want to skim over, skip what I want to skip, but I feel like I have been offered everything. Whereas online, I know it's all there, but I have to go and look for it. And I feel like that's the thing for the kids that's hard, is that they have to go and look for things and they're not necessarily getting maybe the same balance that they would with a book. You know, the book has all the information in it. And yeah, they have to look in the book, but it's all kind of there available to them. But whereas online, they need to know, they need to be more pointed in their searches. And I think therefore that excludes a lot of information that would otherwise be available to you in a book. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Like, they really only ever reach a much more limited amount of information. Maybe there's a lot more information on there, but it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy because they only find the things that they look for
and that they're interested in. Yeah. And I think as well, you know, you have all this information on your phone or on your laptop or on your tablet or whatever, but without actually having, like you said, it bound into a book going, this is what's important. Like, this is the information that you need to take in. And that's what I find about newspapers as well, is that when you buy a newspaper, on page one, right, they have the day's most important stories. And then page two and page three, and it goes down by priority. Then they have life and culture in specific sections. But when you look at a newspaper online, on page one, they actually have the stories that people are most likely to click on. So you kind of miss, like, sometimes I wonder what would have been on page two, what would have been on page three. And we can actually buy the New York Times and Kroger. So when I'm reading the New York Times, I think I should just go and buy it and see what I'm missing by reading online. Although I did decide the other day that I was not going to support them anymore.
Oh, I unsubscribed. Now I miss it, though. I'm going to subscribe to the Irish Times. But you can subscribe also in broadsheet format, which is extra. You pay extra.
To the New York Times?
I think to the Irish Times.
Oh, the Irish Times. Yeah.
But, and I think I would do that because for exactly that reason, I feel like I'm in an echo chamber of my own making online we all are. And that's the difference between like news the way I want to consume it and news as it's delivered to us on the internet.
Yeah, but that's kind of the importance of journalism, right? Is that they're not just showing you the stories you want to read. They're showing you the stories that are as objectively as they can be within a group of 30 journalists or, you know, 20 editors or whatever. They're showing you the stories that are important for you to read, that matter to the society that you're living in, the country that you're living in. And that's something that, like, I don't trust myself to decide that.
But I don't even know what I'm looking for. That's the problem, you know? So, and the same thing with the kids. So I noticed, like, when they're doing remote learning now, some days when it snows and they're, you know, the pandemic was kind of a thing unto itself and everybody just did their best. I think we were all learning. But now they learn everything here, especially on iPads. All the kids have iPads. That's where they do all their schoolwork. Now, they do have libraries. They have, like, really well-stocked libraries. But I find it interesting when mom has given the kids for Christmas a couple of times the Guinness Book of Records. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting. They love it. Like, they totally devour that book. And I think it's interesting. They're like, oh, look at this. There's a record for, you know, how many snakes can be eaten or whatever. Like, how many mice a snake can eat, whatever. Whereas when they go online, they go, I'm interested to know how many pies were eaten, you know, in one sitting. Kind of thing.
They and don't again, get to the other parts.
Yeah. So it's really kind of more about broadening your mindset or like your awareness of what's out there if you're not, you know, traveling every day of the week and being exposed to broader cultures, which especially is a problem, I think, when you're in the Midwest, like we are, when you're in the middle of anywhere. I mean, I think there's much more of an awareness, certainly when I was growing up, much more of an awareness of the rest of the world in Europe, and there's much more insularity here, not in New York, right, but here in the Midwest.
Yes, yeah.
And not everybody, obviously, but certainly I experience that there's much less of an awareness of what is happening in terms of cultural events or current events, etc. And I do think a lot of that is, again, back to I'm looking for what I'm looking for. The algorithm is feeding me what I looked for yesterday.
Yeah, but I also do think there's a cultural aspect of it. Of course there is, right? But I think there's a real emphasis on individualism in America. And like what's important to us and what's going to affect us in a way that I don't think we're really brought up with that in Europe or in Ireland anyway. That here, I think, like, because I've spoken to people about this and I've gone, you know, it's interesting, like to Brandon and Brandon's friends and like family and gone, it's interesting to me that we know so much about America And I think the attitude kind of is like, well, why would we, you know, like, this is what's important to us. This is what's going to affect our everyday lives. And there's a real emphasis on that being what's important. And I think that's quite interesting as well. That, like, that's what. But you know what? I find even the streaming services, right? If you think about when we were growing up and you'd put on whatever channels we had, right? RT1, RT2, and then we had TV3 and then TG Car. And then, like, in our teens, we then got, like, cable. But when we were much younger, you turn on the TV and you'd have a choice of four channels, but you'd be presented with their programming. And you might end up watching stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think. And, like, mum be like, you don't have to watch just for the sake of watching. And I'd be like, I do. I'm watching TV tonight. But I'd end up watching, like, a documentary about something, or, you know, even reeling in the ears, or something that I'm like, I wouldn't pick that out of a streaming service. And also, to your point, like, the streaming service wouldn't present it to me.
Yeah.
Especially once it gets to know my algorithm, like, it's only presenting more of what I've already watched, which is what I like, but I'm missing out on.
It's actually very annoying. A friend of mine was saying this the other day. She's like, I'm very interested in X, Y, and Z, and I used to get it all the time on Instagram, and now it doesn't present it to me anymore. And obviously it's not what she's spending time on, like, or for a certain period of time, she maybe got tired of it or whatever, was intrigued by something else. But now it doesn't present it to her anymore. And getting, like, kind of thinking yourself, oh, actually, I used to see all these, you know, miniaturists, whatever, like artists on Instagram, and now I don't see them anymore, even though I still follow them. And sometimes I go, did I unfollow that person? I go in and check it. Like, that's actually very, like, I think the algorithm, it's so focused on selling you things and on, you know, on just marketing. Like, it's missing, I think we need to pull back a bit on, you know, the idea of the unexpected that will surprise and delight. Like, it's very dull after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it really narrows your scope of interest and your scope of knowledge in a way that I think is going to be really damaging in, like, generations and decades to come.
Well, also probably it'll make these apps, like, less relevant, right? Because at a certain point, you do get bored only talking to yourself. Like, I'm already looking at Instagram going, I don't want to see these again.
You know what? I think TikTok is actually very good at that. And it's also very good because you can very easily say not interested and then it won't show you. Because, like, for a while I was getting all these, like, people doing the, you know, scrolling through, like, what celebrity face do I have or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was getting a lot of those over and over and I was like, I don't want to see any of these. And then I just started clicking not interested and then I started getting more and more. But I think on Instagram as well, what we often forget is that the stuff that we engage with and not just like, but actually comment, which I don't do.
Oh, I don't do that
at all, really. Mm. But stuff that we comment on is the stuff that we then get served more as well.
I don't comment on anyone, so I don't know why I'm getting served. I'm getting served, like, lots of weird things about people with, like, varicose veins on their feet. And I'm like, that is not me. So
no.
I mean, it might be in the future, but it isn't now. And I'm like, I don't think I'm looking at anything like that. I'm looking at a lot of plastic surgery right now, but
that's probably then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at a lot of plastic surgery, but accidentally. And I've also been getting served a lot of, and I think it's your fault because you sent me one. I'm getting served a lot of veneers content. You sent me one that was this person going, like, a celebrity before and after veneers. And I think it was a dentist analyzing their veneers. And now I'm getting a lot of veneer content.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
content.
So just go back to that comment that you made, though, about individualism, because I think that's really, I think that's interesting. And it, I've thought about it a lot, actually, since moving here. And I agree with you. I mean, it's obviously based in the whole American ideology, right, of the individual and the, you know, America as a great power, etc. But like for the average person kind of living here on a day to day basis, there is this kind of, oh, that's just not really relevant to me. Like, I don't really look at that. And I think there is, again, a happy medium, because I think that we as Europeans used to having a broader kind of global awareness, not than everybody, right? Clearly not than everybody, and depending on your interest level, et cetera.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But it can also be bad for you, right? Because I think at a certain point, like, and the, you know, that sounds very privileged, but I think that you can be overly concerned as well. Like, I think for a while I was very focused on what was happening around the world and, you know, staying up to date with the news. And after a while, like, as mom says, even on a non-news day, people manage to drum up headlines and scandal. And, you know, you kind of wonder, like, is this actually mega news? I mean, there are obviously major events that have happened over the last 24 months, like Ukraine, Palestine, etc., you know, Israel. But even when those kinds of things don't happen, the newspapers manage to have a page one and like news and fill an hour for the 6 o'clock news, et cetera, or half an hour, however long it is now, et cetera. And I think there is a balance. And I remember during the pandemic, particularly when people's mental health, I mean, we're still all going through it, right? Like, we're still going the aftermath of, maybe it isn't even that it made people's mental health worse or worsened it. It just brought it to the surface and people started talking about it and accepting it and acknowledging it. But a lot of, I think, politics, particularly in America, when you follow that, can become extremely all-consuming and unhealthy, you know. And there are a lot of podcasts that are very, very angry.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and that you listen to and you come away from feeling really like jarred. Not jarred in the drunk sense, but just like it's very jarring. But I saw, well, I've seen a few accounts talking about this, particularly with a focus on mental health, but talking about basically, there's been a lot of reporting about how Palestine and Gaza and the genocide that's going on there now is the most, not just reported upon, but the most shared and the most photographed and the most filmed, the most documented, basically war or atrocity and genocide in history. And we are now seeing more images of that than we have ever seen of any kind of any war, of any conflict ever before. Even like Ukraine and Russia isn't being shared the way that what's happening in Palestine is. And basically, I've seen a lot of people, kind of mental health experts, talking about how we're not designed and we're not accustomed to be overstimulated in this way and to be constantly bombarded with images of war and famine and, you know, injuries and crying children and devastation. And that actually this does a real number on our nervous systems in a way that we're just not used to having done to us. And I think that was true for the pandemic as well, that like obviously there's never been any worldwide event that's been documented as well as the COVID pandemic was, simply because of technology and, you know, where we are now versus where we were 100 years ago. But I think that's really worth bearing in mind, especially when we think about children and like how much time they spend looking at YouTube or looking at TikTok and being served over and over and over again these visuals of things that they might find interesting or amusing or even shocking or scary, and that they're just seeing over like so much of that we're not really designed to cope with, or that we don't really have the, we're not really equipped with how to kind of parse that out in our brains and compartmentalize it away from our everyday lives and from our families and from what we're doing every day. And I think you're right that like, if you like, it is possible and easy actually to just consume all of this like devastating news over and over all day, and then really find yourself getting very like nihilistic with like kind of sitting down going, what's the point? Like, what's the point of my doing? What's the point? Like, what's the point in any of us? And like, this happened to me as well when kind of it started with Palestine and Gaza, and I was going, oh my God, and I have a little baby, and why did I bring him into this world? And like, what am I doing? And what's the world going to be like? And you just can't live in that space because it's not productive or conducive to anything positive, I don't think.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, it starts to sound privileged, because I mean, that's where it's hard. It's a hard conversation to have, because it's also like not everybody gets the choice. Right.
No.
So, you know, but if you do have the choice, I suppose that's it. Like, you have to think about how can you be productive. And my therapist would say, is this serving you? Is this useful to you? And if you really want to do something about it, what are you going to do about it that is useful, that you can do realistically, you know, given your resources, time, etc. I also was talking with two female friends of mine who have like 12-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys. And I was just saying, you know, that I'm trying to keep an eye on what the boys are watching, my boys, because, you know, they follow a lot of gamers, they follow a lot of online personalities who I am concerned, like, even if they don't outwardly come across as negative or misogynistic or kind of incel-y types, I said, still some of their conversation that I hear, probably they're probably totally fine people, right? But they themselves are influenced by everything happening in the world, and they're like, I'm trying very hard to create to help my children understand, you know, equality, feminism, you know, why you want to be a good person, etc. And I was saying, you know, when Andrew Tate was first arrested, a lot of the kids that I know here were like totally in denial, you know, oh no, this is a great guy, he's a gamer, he's cool, because they're not privy to, but like they are absorbing his messages nonetheless.
Yeah, but they're not understanding them.
But they don't understand them. And they're also not, you know, they're not necessarily they're not necessarily absorbing his webcam messaging, etc. Like, that's a whole other aspect that they haven't yet, hopefully, discovered. But these two parents had never heard of Andrew Tate, which I found really surprising, given, you know, the demographic of their children, the fact that this is on every website. Even if you're not searching for Andrew Tate, I feel like he was everywhere for many months, and it's still frequently brought up or interviewed or talked about, etc. So that was also alarming to me, that like half the time, I mean, and that was, you know, and I sound like I'm going like, I know all about him and they didn't, but I'm sure there are other things that I don't know about, like the fact that this kind of danger is out there. You know, and I do think he is a dangerous individual. I do think like his rhetoric is very dangerous, and what he's what he's sharing, how he's the number of children and adults that he is influencing. And even if they're not as extreme as he is, like that thought, like that whole mindset is, you know, permeating the internet. And that's really dangerous, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much out there that, like, no matter how well versed you are in Andrew Tate, you can't possibly be well versed on Andrew Tate and this other, like, Mr. Beast, or, you know, like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Mr. Beast necessarily, although there was a really interesting episode of the Daily, the New York Times podcast about that. But no matter how well versed you are in X, you're going to be missing out on Y or Z, because there's this like bombardment of information. I remember talking about this when I was on Midday on TV3 and talking about kids and phones, and basically we were talking about how somebody's kid had accessed pornography or talked about pornography, and someone else was basically going like, you're so irresponsible, how could your kid access pornography? And it was like, if your kid has a phone, they can access pornography. So actually you're better off talking to them about it and being open. Like, it's parenting has just got, I think, exponentially more difficult, because there's so much now to keep an eye on. Like, it used to be, you needed to keep an eye on what your kids are watching on TV. You needed to kind of be aware of what they were talking about with their friends, like a little bit of eavesdropping
where
at the door.
Where they were going.
Where they were going, who they were going there with. Whereas now it's like, they can be in their bedroom, in your house, or on the couch next to you, and you still don't know where they're going on their phone.
Well, I mean, and you know, and obviously that's the part where you have to go and keep up with them. But they are also, they're a lot more savvy than a lot of parents, including probably myself, right? So I think, you know, what you said there is correct. Like, I personally feel that Nash, or, you know, Nash or any of my kids are going to find things that I don't approve of, that and you have to just hope that you have educated them enough, you know, or talked with them enough to explain, like, you might be looking at this thing and you might be curious, and that's okay to be curious, but like, here's why we don't think that's good. Or to even have the ability to understand that they're being fed something, like, it's hard even as an adult to, like, know that this is a slanted perspective.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of like media literacy and then like critical thinking skills that are really hard. Like, when, because kids, like our kids will say to us, oh, I saw this on YouTube, and it's really like, I saw it on YouTube, therefore it's true. And we're trying to explain, no, and they're very trusting in the sense, no, it couldn't be on YouTube if it wasn't true.
As you keep wanting to bring up, I thought, what's his name?
Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah, was Gene Wilder's son, because there was an article saying, there was an article that popped up on my screen saying, check out these related family members.
Oh, right. So I'm always telling mom that she needs to not click on those, because they come up at the bottom of her Irish Times app, and she's always going, oh, I read this in the Irish Times. You're like, that wasn't on the Irish Times.
Well, at least I knew that wasn't. This was on Zergnet
that you
or something.
Through. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is on Zergnet or something. And but I did click into it, and it did say, this is his grandchild, and they have the same blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, fact.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is as well? They couldn't have printed that in a book. That's why we should all be reading books and getting off the internet.
Good point, Rosemary.
Thank you very much. Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. You can get us on patreon.com/notwithoutmysister. Email us, notwithoutmysister@gmail.com. Send us a DM on Instagram @notwithoutmysister. And please, whatever you do, give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to this.
Well, they could have printed in a book, but they would have had to label it under fiction.
Or satire. Correct.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Not Without My Sister is recorded in studio in Fort Wayne by Don Kirkland, who also wrote our theme tune, and the original illustration is by Lindsay Nielsen.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.